Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Midnight Paco Podcast. As always, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the underscore great underscore C-O-R-E-E. That's where you can find me. Or you can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
As you can see, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
We have a very special guest in the house. We have a fellow comedian.
Yes. Sir.
Actor.
What?
Writer.
Huh?
Father.
Get it?
Definitely.
Mr. Mike Head is in the house.
Hey! Yay!
Hit the clap on the top. Where can they find you at, Mr. Mike Head?
Mike Head is funny on all social media platforms. I'm on X or whatever the hell it is. What is it? Is
that you be, yeah, I think that's what it is.
X, Meta Universe?
Yeah.
That.
Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. It's all Mike Head is funny.
Yeah. Nice.
Dope. Welcome.
You know what? I left out voice impressionist too.
Oh, he does those voices too. Yes.
I'm all right.
His voice is his own point. Check him out, y'all.
Yeah. I'll do a little bit.
Mike Head is in the building, y'all. Nice, it was a long time coming out. My plan backfired on me. I was like, look, I'm going to run into this guy. I heard of this Mike Head fella, but yeah, I just run into him on one of these mics or something, but it never happened.
Never happened.
I'll be at the house.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. So how long have you been doing it?
Since about 2006, 2007, man.
Oh.
Nice.
Damn.
It's a long time.
About doing 18 comedy years. That is.
18, 19, close to it, 19,
bitter.
18, something like that.
Just better. Look at my face.
Veteran in the game.
Yeah. So you start your 45.
So 46 in September.
Nice. What day?
September 26th.
September 26th.
Nice day.
Yeah.
26 is a good number.
Yeah.
Yep. That's his favorite number.
It's not favorite number. Reason. Yeah.
Oh, really? 2-6. That was his military name.
2-6.
That was your military name?
I have it tattooed on me, so they were calling me 2-6, okay. Basically. And then all the officers for a second platoon were getting mad.
Why they call you 2-6, though?
Just because it was my number and it was tattooed on me. So they're just like, 2-6? And okay. I'm like, what's up, all dog? Right. You know what I mean? And then, so like I said, the officers are like 6 actual. And if they're platoon, and you're for second platoon, so you'd be 2-6. Okay. That would be their call sign, but nope, that's me, motherfucker.
2-6.
Sorry, sir. That's me. Up, yeah. All because of Rod Woodson. Sorry. I mean, it started because my brother's favorite number is 26. Okay. I didn't know it was because of Rod Woodson. So, growing up, he was playing football. Yeah. My brother,
wore 26. Nobody really cares about Pittsburgh teams or anything.
I mean,
like that.
He's a beast. What can you do? He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, he was a beast. So that's why he wore it. I didn't know why he wore it. I just wore it because he wore it. Okay. And then, come to find out, it was Rod Woodson. So,
Okay.
Two big ups, but yeah. So that's why it's tattooed on me.
Jim Brown was one of the best players in the NFL.
He was. Uh-oh. Just dragging people. And I get it.
From the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Hey, I'm here. I'm here.
I'm just saying it's Pittsburgh talking.
I'm just because I'm not from here, so it's all good.
So you grew up in Pittsburgh?
No, I grew up in Erie, okay. Pennsylvania. Yeah.
Erie.
And when you grow up there, you're either a Browns fan, a Bills fan, or a Steelers fan.
Okay.
Because they're all, right in the area. Yeah. There's a lot of Browns fans up there, but my father happened to be a Steelers fan because our family is from,
further
down
you.
By Pittsburgh and, country down there. So.
Yeah.
That's why.
Anyway, enough talk about that crappy team. We got Mike Head in the building, y'all. Yo. Mike Head is in the building. And you know what? It was like, I felt an attachment to him because he does those voices. And, I do the voices as well. And that's a big thing to do those voices, man. Right.
Because not everybody can do it. Yeah. I'm prime example.
Yeah.
I try and do Canadian, it sounds British, or Australian, or vice versa. I try and do all of it. It's terrible.
I mean, it's not easy to do.
It's really not.
But if you keep talking, you can lose it.
You get me? But
isn't it? What's up, bruv?
That's right, it's just three blokes here sitting. I'm talking comedy,
See, at least you know the words, too. I don't know any.
Isn't it? Right?
Mate. The blokes.
I like isn't it. That's hilarious.
You're a waste, man. Your rhymes are rubbish, mate.
See?
So I'm a UK. Y'all got people in the UK?
Yes.
Fans? Okay. Yeah. Shout out to the UK listeners.
Waste, man. I'm a top boy. You want to... We're supposed to be getting peas, bruv.
That's right.
What the hell is he saying? I don't know what he's saying. Put in the comments. What are you saying?
Yeah, they're from my top boy fans on Netflix. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
That's almost a cheat code when you can do voices and shit.
It is,
because it's automatic. All you got to do is find somebody and just imitate them throughout your set, and it can generate some shit. It's cheat code.
It is cheat code.
Nothing wrong with it. Nothing wrong with it. Kudos. I wish I could do it. I'm jealous. You guys, and then Greg, he's always doing some shit. Greg Morton. He's always doing shit. So.
Shout out to Greg Morton.
Greg Morton, that's my dude.
Ain't he cool?
Yeah, he cool as hell. Very humble guy.
Super humble.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So you started here in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yes, sir.
Walk us through that, man. What made you what was your first?
Yeah, because you were 30.
I was 27.
Yeah,
27.
At what point did you I'm gonna fucking do this shit?
You know what? I was hooping when I came out of college, and so I started teaching, wound up in the Cleveland School District, and I ain't know what to do next. And so my boy, he just was like, "Man, you funny." And I didn't consider myself to be a funny dude, because I was real quiet.
Right.
And so he was just like, "Man, they got a class down at the Cleveland Improv." And I don't know if y'all ever heard of Dave Swinson.
Swinson. Shout out to Dave.
I took Dave's class, and it was 10 of us, and we walked in the Improv, the old Improv, and he made us write a couple minutes, and then we had a little graduation night, and that was the first time I did it. And all my family came to support me.
Okay.
And it was just I got hooked.
Hooked.
Shout out to Dave. Dave been doing it for a long time then, huh?
Yeah, Dave been doing his, his classes and this comedy mentoring thing, for a long time, man. He's been doing it for a long time.
He's still doing it.
Yeah, he's still doing it. He still does his classes. Yeah. And it's a good way to start out. You either do it that way, or you just just show up at an open mic and just.
That's what I did.
You know what I'm saying?
Funny stop though. I didn't go to a bar or nothing.
Okay.
Although, because I looked it up online, because I was listening there, go to open mics. I'm like, that's all you gotta do is go to an open mic.
Yeah.
And then, so, yeah, I ended up going and watching at the Funny Stop first, and I'm like, okay, yeah, I can go up there. I mean, some of these, you know, and I don't remember who was going all upstage because, you know, I didn't know any of them at first, but now we know a lot of them. You know what I mean? It's hilarious. Yeah. So,
like, I'm as funny as he
is. Yeah, yeah, I can go up there.
Let me up there.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, so you took the class and did it that way.
I took the class.
But did that help you, like, with hilarities and everything? Like, do you think that, like, right off the rip, kind of like
it just kind of like gave me the confidence to like just keep, you know, just keep going. Probably wouldn't have did it if I would have went straight into like an open mic,
or especially at a bar
or something like that. I probably would wouldn't have.
Because it would have been a bad experience.
Yeah. And I'd have been like, nah, this ain't for me.
Like, yeah, I started Skeets on 93rd.
Yeah. I couldn't have did it. Yeah, them open mics be brutal, boy.
Yes, they do.
You know what I'm saying? Brutal. So you got people trying to watch the game, people ordering wings. And
yeah.
They making margaritas.
No.
You know, why you trying to? Nah.
Okay. Sounds like the Funny Stuff.
Yeah.
Right? The margarita machine. Yeah.
Real loud.
Yeah. So I tried that, and then it gave me the confidence. Then you started, you know, just working on your 5-10 minute set, and like, hey, improv, hilarities, whatever, let me get some guest sets, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, and try to show what you can do.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, so you did reach out to him and try and get guest spots stuff.
Yeah, just pop up, you know what I'm saying, watch the show, watch the headliners, and just like learn from them.
Yeah. Like you said, stage presence, man. When you see the professionals, that's the one thing you notice is stage presence.
Stage presence, man.
They're up there. They don't give two Fs. They don't. You know, comfortable. Yeah. You know, and it's just like. But and seeing and when you watch them, because at that point they have that amount of time. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I mean, not like in the game, but they have like that time on stage, so they're doing about an hour 45, right?
Sometimes,
but like 45 to an hour is what I meant.
Yeah.
And so they can take their time, like us mics and shit, or even on a show, you got this much time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yep. So it's hard to, like, in your mind, your bit's this long, you can't be up there like, hey, how's ever, you know? But still, you gotta get that confidence. You know, that's the thing.
Absolutely.
And how long did it take you? You think?
Man, that's. For me, it's still a process, man.
Right.
Even now.
Right.
You know, I kind of have found my voice within the past few years. Bro.
Okay.
Man, I told you how long I've been doing
it.
Like when you first starting out, you mimicking the greats.
Right.
You know, some of your favorites, trying to find your own voice. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Which is.
Yeah. Speaking of the greats, like who are some of the influences that you watched that said, yeah, I can do that. I want to do that.
When I started doing comedy, I was like, well, before I even did comedy, before I even wanted to do comedy, I had Sinbad and Jamie Foxx on repeat.
Okay.
All the time.
Okay.
I could tell you all of their sets.
Yeah.
Word for word. Shout you know, like Sinbad. I all the time. VCR tape, boom, pop it in anytime.
Wow.
Like,
Jamie Foxx is talented as what?
You know what I mean? In my mind, Jamie Foxx and Wayne Brady are the two most talented men on the planet.
Yeah, they're very talented.
Yeah, very talented. I don't know if the most talented.
I think they are.
But
they could do everything.
Yeah,
they can do everything. 100%.
I'll give them that.
Yeah, so I watched them. And then when I started doing comedy, I just started tapping into like everybody.
Okay.
I started rewatching, you know, Richard and Eddie and, you know what I'm saying, like the white comics like George Carlin and, you know what I'm saying, like all Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan and all these guys that's been around for years. Man, I started like just paying attention like closely to their stage presence, the way they wrote, everything, you know. So
yeah, that's definitely something like, you know, that's how I knew that I was going through some type of metamorphosis, because I was watching comedy differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, instead of like, you know, some you know, you watch it to laugh, I'm looking at it like, oh, that was clever. Oh, yeah. I see how you did that. Oh, I see where you're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch the stage presence. So you was doing that back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I was watching and just paying attention to like every little movement, hand movement, how they use the stage.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Some people pace, you know, like a Chris Rock.
I used to try and do that.
Yeah, I tried to stop pacing.
Yeah, some people, you know, just stand. It's just what they call stand and deliver.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Tom Papa, boy, he don't move.
Yeah, he don't move.
He just stands right there.
Neil Brennan, you know, he's standing right there. You know what I'm saying? Or you got somebody like what's the name? Bobby Clayton, I think his name is. He's an old school comic, New York dude, and he's very just animated. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so you take bits and pieces of that and incorporate it into who you truly are.
Right.
You
know what I'm saying? Yeah. Well, I try to be like Chris Rock at the Funny Stop, and I realized the stage ain't that big.
Nah, it ain't.
You gonna walk off.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you ain't gotta go back and forth. You can just go like this.
Yeah.
Like
right.
You know what I'm saying? So most places ain't that got that big of a stage.
Nah, so you ain't got a pace.
Ain't got a pace.
Yep.
You used to mess with the court all the time.
Oh, really? You just put him out there like that. Everybody got a nervous twitch, though.
Yeah. Well, mine was like OCD. Like, if it was tangled, it was like.
And you sitting up there like, so what? I was in the grocery store,
but you notice when anybody does it, just notice it, and they just keep messing with
the cord. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
It was one of them things that become a distraction to the people in the crowd. They'd be like, man, what's wrong with this dude?
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah,
like spectrum or something. Like
yes,
that?
Yes, I am. Let me stop. Yeah,
let me stop.
Yeah, and I noticed that you know, like watching you, you're like not overly animated, but you move around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, did you start like that, or like you know, like walk me through that process? Did you record your sets in the beginning? Did you watch yourself? Did you say, look, I need to improve in this area or that area? Like, how did you get to the mic head that we see right now?
The trial and error. You know, like, starting out, I was very, I used to be just, try to be kind of like Sinbad, Jamie Foxx's a little bit. Then I went through my phase where I was just kind of like standing there and I tried to be the cool, you know, just let, you know, my words do all the heavy lifting. And then I started trying to be more animated. And that was, you know, so I have to, it's certain jokes that I do where I do stand. And then there's certain jokes where I will do an act out. So it's like, it's certain parts of my set where you'll see all those different versions of
right,
me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I couldn't stick to just one. You know what I mean? So that's what I started doing. I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take all these versions of myself and I'm gonna put it in my set every time I do it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So nice. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you feel about like? I know you informed us that you know you mostly do all cruise ships right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
That'll change. I mean, that'll change your writing too.
God bless you, because F cruise ships. F the ocean. I'm not trying to be on there.
He's scared.
Yeah, exactly. Super scared.
You should have seen him when we did a.
Yes.
He's scared of heights and water. Like, bro. No, but.
I mean,
and I'm sure that's the only reason why he's saying it, because he's afraid of water. Not.
I can swim. Cruise ships. I can swim. I don't like sharks.
Yeah.
I
don't think anybody likes sharks, man.
I don't know what the hell is underneath that one. And boy, you see the waves. Capsizing in the middle of the ocean.
Anyways, I'm going on a cruise on October.
I ain't in it.
Right.
I'm not down with that shit.
What is he talking about? Anyway.
Good times for you, though. I appreciate it. That's dope.
Talking to a dude that's about to jump out of an airplane, man. What are you talking about?
Oh, you about to skydive?
We both are.
Oh, man.
We owe it to our fans, unfortunately.
Bruh. Yeah, we said
that. You about to skydive and you worried about water?
I mean, at that point, what else? I'll land, but then I ain't getting eaten by a shark. It's over like that.
But then you break both of your legs.
Yeah, possibly. It's possible. I could die. It's possible.
Anyway.
But it's a one-shot deal.
We don't want that.
I ain't on that bitch for 7 days.
Right.
Not in the sky for 7 days.
Skydiving, that's wild. I'd probably pass out.
Well, my buddy, he does it like all the time. Really? And so he's like the only one I trust, really. Okay. So either way.
You strapped to him?
Like, yep. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Straps. I'm not doing it by myself. Super pause. So we're going to jump out of plane, but it's all good. You know, that's one time. That's one time deal.
Anyway, yeah. So let me ask you this, Mike. One of the things you mentioned before, like it's all about stage presence and how you look on stage. You seem like a fit dude. Do you have a workout routine? And how do you incorporate that while you're touring?
Yeah, I definitely work out. Definitely. When I'm on the ship, that's the first thing I find when I'm on the ship is a gym.
Right.
You know, I walk, run, go lift weights and stuff like that. Yeah. And, yeah, I've just always been kind of like
athlete,
you know, yeah, kind of like athlete. Yeah. So it just never got out of my system,
right?
So and plus it's a stress reliever
for mental
stuff. So
you got little John yelling in your ear.
Yeah.
No, that's a good thing, because that also can, I believe in my mind, helps you out with your confidence on stage, because I'll be looking at some of my tape feet. And I'm like, look at Fat Boy Hubba Bubba Checkers working it out on stage. Like,
I mean, but then you'll have to change your set. I mean, you got to change your set to working out and everything, because all your Fat Boy jokes will be gone.
Yeah, I know.
See what I'm saying? I know.
But I can say,
but that's no reason to, you know.
I can say when I was a former Fat Boy.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
But yeah, that's important, especially when you're on the road, man. You know, this guy is obviously a healthy person. We offered him everything and he rejected everything.
Everything. I was trying to get him fucked up.
He rejected everything.
No, when you come to the Midnight Paco podcast, you have options.
You got options.
Not too deep, obviously, but you know,
acid, coke, weed,
whatever,
pizza,
mushrooms. Fucking, got, what are we doing?
You got a sex swing in the corner.
Say something. It's good time.
I mean,
massage chair, a hookah, whatever you want.
What
they
do you
got
want?
It.
Just no AC in this bitch. I don't get it.
I definitely ain't got that.
Gotta get all the maintenance, man.
They definitely ain't got no AC. That's the only thing they don't got.
The only thing.
They got no AC, but they got about 20 flies in this place.
Yeah, I think it's the same one fucking with us.
When I catch him, I'm going to eat him. I'll eat him when I catch him.
Go eat him when he catches it. Oh, yeah, what's going on? I got this super snug Marcus Martin shirt.
Shout out to Marcus Martin.
Marcus Martin.
See my nipples in this bitch. I said medium. He gave me a schmedium. But I like it because it's going to be on the wall on the side. But it's cool.
Shout out to Marcus
Shout
Martin.
Shout out to Marcus Martin.
Hey,
Canton, Ohio.
You know, and that's what it's all about, man. And it's like, you know, you're doing the tours on the boat, and it's like, when did you, and also like working out. Mm-hmm. Like, it has a lot to do with your comfortability on stage. I think so. I don't mm-hmm. know. But, you know, you know you look good. Like, mm-hmm. you could put on some jeans and a t-shirt and look great.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, let's talk about the attire of a comedy. See, this is also a show
that
you know, people that are starting out in comedy look for it, mm-hmm. you know, look to. And it's like an unwritten rule about shorts. Like, like no shorts on stage.
Yeah.
Now you be on a cruise, it'd be hot. And you still no shorts?
No shorts.
No shorts.
It's AC
no
in a cruise ship.
Yeah, definitely AC on a cruise ship. Sometimes it'd be kind of cold.
Yeah.
On a cruise ship.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But yeah, no shorts. No shorts.
No shorts. And we talked briefly about, like, you know, like no logos and things when you're on stage. Like, you know, like, where did someone tell you that, or did you figure it out, or
For me, I was watching.
Okay.
I know for, you know, some of the urban comics that we've seen on television and just like on the road, we can be a little over the top sometimes
with the
suits and the jewelry and the hats and the shades, and we come on stage. Like, to me, for me, that's a distraction for me. Mm. Like I was telling you before the show, if I put on a nice fit, then I'm feeling extra kind of smooth and just, like, you know what I'm saying, sexy and stuff like that. And I don't want to bring that energy to the stage. I just want to be funny.
Right.
That's it. That's all I want. I'm not where I'm putting the sexy, the ego, the all that. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
to the
right,
side.
Right. Yeah.
So when you put on something with no logo, no, you know what I'm saying, nothing special, no special shoes or nothing like that, you just, it's not distracting to the audience, mm-hmm. and it ain't distracting to me as a comic, you know what I'm saying? So I suggest that people just wear no logo, just plain it up, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just go out there and do your thing, so you're not worried about, you know, oh shoot, my bracelet, or my watch, or, you know, you accidentally stepped on one of your Jordans or something like that.
Right.
You're not worried about all that kind of stuff for me. So.
Yeah.
And that's good sound advice. Like, when I first started, no one told me not to wear khakis because I had nervous pee before You know, I go on stage. The fuck? And you don't want to have pee-pee dribble when you going on stage. Like,
you don't want to do that.
Yeah. You can go on stage with khakis and pee-pee dribble. Everybody's looking like, did he just use the bathroom? He got pee-pee dribble on his khakis.
That's, you know, crazy. Those some thin khakis, bro. Shit. He must have had them khakis on with no drawers.
I mean, I'm just saying, man. Like, look, no matter how many, if I went to the bathroom and right before they call me or I know I'm next, I gotta go to the bathroom.
Again. No shakes? No shakes?
You shake all you look. When you look, y'all early 40s. Wait, y'all see.
I was like that too, but I used to have to just like take a bad dump before the show.
Really?
Oh, before each show, I'm talking about bubble guts.
Really?
I would always have to tell like the manager at Hilarities or the Improv, like, hold that show one more, like for about 5 minutes. I'd be in there like,
thank God. Yeah. I don't have that. Oh, man. I mean, I'm nervous as shit every time, but I don't have to shit. Thank God.
Every time. Every show I used to have to take one.
Because this dude will just show up in any bathroom. He's hilarious. I'm like, oh, I can hold it. I'm good. I mean, I got baby wipes just in case I need to go anywhere, but.
Yeah.
I get nervous.
I am not shitting at the comedy club, especially at the funny style. You see that, Tyler? You see that stall in that mama?
Oh, man, that's all right. It ain't bad as a Cleveland Improv.
I heard about that. Yeah, I heard about it.
Shout out to Tony Baker. I know he probably ain't listening to this, but he brought it up on the podcast. Yeah, tag him about the Cleveland Improv bathroom. He made a joke about it on the podcast. It was 100%
true. 100%
true. You go in the Cleveland Improv, you got like the door hanging off. It's like a wall, like a big hole in the wall, bro. They got the mop bucket sitting out.
And then you fixed it.
You got and then when the door is on there, you gotta hold the door while you sitting down and wipe at the same time. Listen, it's whatever he said on that podcast is 110% true.
But that's from my understanding, that's the other bathroom. Like, you could use the other bathroom. That's the bathroom that the comics normally use.
That's the bathroom that's in the back. That's the only thing that's available to us as comics. That's it. If you go use the other bathroom, you're using the bathroom with the rest of the 450 people that just came to watch you.
Yeah.
Ain't no telling what's going on.
Yeah, I just seen him in there. Yeah, he was in there taking a dump. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I seen him. He in there. I saw his shoes.
Yeah, I seen his shoes.
Yeah, man, that Cleveland comedy, Cleveland Improv.
Wild.
That bathroom, crazy.
That's wild. They just leave it that way, huh?
They just leave it that way. It ain't been fixed in years.
It's in the back for the comics. It's
It ain't been fixed in years. That's wild. That same bucket been sitting back, the same door been hanging off.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Shout out to Tony Baker. You should be watching the Midnight Paco podcast. That's right.
With some skibbity peps.
Yeah. Skibbity peps.
Absolutely. Yeah, man. So, hey, so.
Well, you said actor.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of your acting.
keep going in and out of this British accent.
I'm sorry. I can't help myself.
That's one of his favorites.
Tell us about your acting, mate.
It's one of his favorites.
That's right.
So shout out to Hood School of Acting in Cleveland, Ohio on Superior Avenue. Jessica Hood, who is a phenomenal acting coach. I was taking acting classes there with her for the past few years.
Nice.
I studied Meisner, the school of it's a method of acting. You know, you have like Stanislavski and like method acting. You got Meisner and stuff like that. These different techniques, and she teaches Meisner. So I studied that under her. And then, you know, they teach you how to do script analysis and emotional preparation for a scene and stuff like that.
Okay.
And how to just prepare your character. But like some of the stuff that I've been in, I was telling you before we started, like with This Ring. Movie was about like, I was in it about maybe 10 years ago.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
That sounds like a rom-com.
Yeah, it is.
With This Ring?
Yeah, with This Ring.
You were
his
best friend.
I was just a random date that Regina Hall, went on. So I was like the rude, arrogant dude. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You were rude and arrogant?
I was rude and arrogant. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah. All right. Funny story behind that was, first of all, shout out Bob Sumner, who was one of the co-creators of Def Jam. He helped me get that.
Nice.
Nice.
He, you know, he recommended me for the thing. And so, you know, the director, Nzinga Stewart, look her up. She cold.
Okay. Okay.
She directed Forever. That's on Netflix right now. She let me write like my own lines.
Okay, so she, yeah, dope.
Like, I had my own, I had lines, and then she just was like, "You know what, Mike? We're gonna." She whispered in my ear, like right when I sat down. I was already nervous, had a little dribble pee. You know what I'm saying? And so I sat down at the table, and oops, she like, no. Yeah, she like, you know, go ahead and just, we're just, you and Regina are just gonna go back and forth. And then ooh, by this time, like, I hadn't seen Regina like all day. Like, and she, whoa, just comes out, just glammed up,
right,
plops right down, oh, in front of me.
Damn.
I and they like, just like,
Brenda?
Yeah, look, go ahead. Man, listen. Should they say action? And I'm just like, I'm nervous as hell, but I just jump right into it. And I'm just like, because I didn't know what she was going to say. Because she like, she been doing this since,
yeah,
Scary Movie.
Yeah, you know what, yeah, I'm saying?
227.
No, this, we talking about Regina Hall. Oh, not, ooh, Regina King.
Oh, I'm,
yeah,
sorry.
I know you talk about.
Oh, Regina Hall. She is hilarious.
Yeah,
I'm,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah. We talking, sorry, about Scary Movie, Regina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
No,
yeah, I love her.
Yeah, man. She funny as hell. Real cool, down, yeah, to earth.
Mm-hmm.
And so me and her just start kind of like going back and forth. And I'm nervous because I don't know if it's funny. And then they yell, cut. And then everybody start laughing.
Okay. Right?
What?
And so I'm just like, oh, it worked. You know what I'm, nice, saying? Because everybody behind the scenes, they're not supposed to say nothing. The,
yeah,
camera rolling.
Yeah,
you,
yeah,
know,
yeah,
what I'm,
yeah,
saying?
Yeah.
So we did another take. And it went well. And then they, you know.
Did you like improv the second one too?
Yeah, we improv, okay, the second one.
Nice.
I had a couple things like written down that I just, mm-hmm, thought I wanted to say. And I just stuck them in my pocket. And then I just started just like saying stuff. And she,
okay,
would say stuff back. And yeah, it just worked, man.
Okay,
yeah,
nice. Yeah, dope, yeah, dope. I should, yeah, insert the clip if I can find it.
Insert. It ain't
clip,
hard to find.
Okay,
yeah,
clip.
Thought about getting your breasts done. I used to strip. Like, yeah. They used to call me the Brown Hornet. I had a stinger and everything. It was crazy. Yeah. Then I changed my name to Black Thor. Because it takes like special powers to pick up this hammer. I got a latex allergy, so I never use condoms. But everybody I slept with, they looked cool. You know what I'm saying? They does it look like I got something? I also run a small kids ministry. It's about 13 kids. 12 of them are mine. I just found out, you know, I'm not all the way paid up on my child support, so we're going to kind of be like a mobile ministry. We're going to jump around a little bit because they will find you. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and this is the thing, man. It's like, all right, so, like, me putting on shows,
mm-hmm,
and being in environments with people, it's not, and even with myself, it's like, it's two different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Dealing with a person on stage versus their actual personalities and, mm-hmm, things like that. So it's like, I mean, I asked around, your reputation is solid in the city, bro.
Oh,
I,
man,
mean,
that's what's up.
That's dope. But you know, you told me that you're quiet, and I could, mm-hmm, I could believe it. So,
yeah,
how do like opportunities come to you? Like, are you?
He obviously got them and say, "Go get her."
Like, are you just, seeing them? Just, are they seeing your work? Are you like, yo?
Like word of mouth.
You on cruise with them or what? Like how does that work? How does someone solicit their work?
How did the opportunities come to me? Like.
Yeah, but okay, because okay.
Or how do they just
what,
come?
What I'm learning is
comics. Period.
What I'm learning is like everybody is not the same personality as me.
Right.
Yeah. I reach out. I say hi. I'm like.
Right.
You, yeah, know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And that's not everybody.
No, everybody ain't gonna do that.
No.
I'm not. I'm not that guy.
I'm not that guy either.
That's, yeah, he's not that guy.
That's why he's that guy.
Yeah, I'm not that.
He reached out to you, correct?
He did.
Exactly.
He, did. He was just like, "Hey, man." Guy. He was just like, yeah. "I was like, who is this dude?" I was like, "I don't know you, boo." You know what I'm saying?
Out to everybody.
I'm like, nah, you could be trying to set me up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
no,
like, yeah,
I ain't got no money.
Like, give me your, like, joke book.
Right,
now.
Right. Give me a joke.
Right. I'm gonna be my head.
Right. Yeah, man.
You
like,
see?
That's, yeah. But
you
but
see
I was
my
just
head
like,
from the side, I'm a brown crayon. Yeah, you know?
Man,
I stole your book, your joke book. No, but go ahead.
But yeah, man, it's damn. What was the question? What was he talking about?
I was just saying, like, I was just saying, for a person that's that's really not like outgoing. Like, how do opportunities come to you? Like, how do you find
since
your
you don't reach out, you're not a, you know, how'd you like maneuver to where you're kind of like?
I really have to like get outside of myself in order to like network and stuff like that. This is very hard. Like when I go to mixers, like with actors and directors and stuff, I don't be wanting to go because I'm quiet and I'm just introverted. You know what I'm saying? And so it's hard for me to hold those conversations and just it, you know. But like the opportunities that have come to me, I had to go like and search them out. You know what I'm saying? Like when I was a finalist for Stand Up for NBC. A couple years ago, like,
what was the name of that show?
That was that's a nationwide talent search. It's called Stand Up for Diversity and NBC like sponsors it, and they only pick 8 people from across the nation.
Nice.
They go to like and so
congratulations.
They go to like LA, Chicago, New York, Nashville, and like maybe like 6 cities across the country. And so people come from all over, hundreds of comedians. And so I drove to Nashville.
Wow.
And stood in line at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
And
by yourself.
By myself, yeah. So
So there's no other comedian like you like was cool with? Like you were like, yeah, we can fucking ride and do this shit, dog.
Nah, I mean it's people that I'm cool with, but I ran into down there, B Titty. Shout out to B Titty doing his thing on social media. I ran into him and Nelson down there in line and Raj, I don't know if you know Raj. Indian guy, bald head dude from he was in Cleveland, but he moved somewhere with his girl, I think Arkansas or something like that.
Okay.
And so ran into him down there too, you know what I'm saying? But it's just like it's like I said to you earlier, it's a detriment to, I think, for you not to be, you know, in the loop and like have close friends and comedy. Like, so what y'all got is like is genuine.
Well, it's Chico. You know, we met, we knew each other before comedy. We were friends prior to that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
still.
Yeah.
Whatever
it
is, Chico, whatever. Tap that button. Remember on Contra, you
right,
got to
right,
like,
right.
You know, what's the code? You know the code.
Up, down, left, right, A, B, select, star.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Some of them don't have the select star, but I remember the fucking first one was select fucking star. It was all them goddamn buttons.
Right. Yeah, man, the cheat code. Use it, man. Like,
right.
It's really hard for me to kind of connect with people because I'm introverted.
Yeah.
So, but it's a lot of guys that's in the scene now that's real, that's close, man. You know what I'm saying? And that's like you need that in this business.
I mean, he's trying to build that, you know, and that's like we're floaters because, you know, you got all the different areas, different rooms, different, you know, bars, clubs, and, you know, we've hit them all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We know a lot of everybody.
Yeah.
And it's just like some of the drama that goes on, and it's wild.
You're like,
what's going on in this piece? Yeah, it's like we're all out here just to do jokes.
But it's just like any job, man.
Yeah,
you got clicks.
It. Yeah, that's what it is too. Yeah. You know, like when I started at the Funny Stop, because I started before him, and nobody like really reached out to me. You know, nobody said nothing to me. Yeah. I think Ebony Timberlake, she was the only one that said something, and she was there happily that night. It's not like she was there all the time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
So she was the first comic to say anything to me.
Yeah.
So it was like everyone that was there at the Funny Stop, man, fucking speak to me at all.
Yeah.
Because there was a clip. Because you know
it's
mean?
A clip, and it's when you, like, at that stage, it's kind of like competition, like who funny, who not funny. Like,
yeah. But it's all what you talk. I mean, it's who's, I mean, it's, that's the thing, because we ain't telling, like, that's why I don't do topical shit. Yeah. I know you do more personal shit.
Some topical.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. See, I try. I have like one couple topical things, but I try not to, just because so many people talk about the same things. And I know I had a joke, and then when you hear similar things, you start wondering. You know what I mean? I ain't hear him talking about that until I was talking about it. Or vice versa. You know what I mean? It's like,
I'm glad you brought that up, Jay.
I mean, it's just so
look, Mike. Have you ever heard another comic, famous or unfamous, say some stuff and you be like, that sounds awfully familiar?
Like from something that I said?
Yes.
My brother claims that somebody in the industry, like, you know,
It probably did happen, man.
Because I was performing at the American Black Film Festival, and I did a joke about braiding my daughter's hair.
Mm-hmm.
And he said this guy, this other guy, I ain't gonna say the actor's name, but he was like, man, he was there, man. He saw you do that joke, and now he doing. He's like, look, Mike. I was just like, man, you know, because comics think alike.
Yeah, parallel thinking.
It does happen. Man, you know what I'm saying? It happens all the time. We write similar. We think the same. So I couldn't really say if he. You know,
got it from you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So Kevin Hart did not get that from Mike Head. But he did, though.
That's hilarious. But no, I never heard anybody.
No, like, no, but I mean, it happens. You do realize it happens.
Heck yeah, it happens. Like, I've seen people get called out on social media for it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, and post a comedian and then post a clip, you know, that they and post dates and receipts and stuff like that. Yeah, people do that, man.
Yeah, people do that. There's a few jokes I wanted to get out there just in case, because I had a couple good, good punchlines. Yeah. I'm like, hey, even if it's not a super solid joke yet, I got to put this punchline out. Yeah. I don't want nobody to steal that shit. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. It gets groans, but it also gets some laughs, and
Mike, what would Will Smith say about stuff like that, like parallel thinking or, you know, something like that? I'm sorry, I had to do it, man.
You just do that.
I'm sorry, man.
We all think alike. See, what you have to understand is, you know, there's parallel thinking, okay, right? So now we're on the same frequency. No, there's a vibe going from here to here, and we're here, and you gotta believe that we're on the same page, and it's nothing wrong with writing similar jokes, right? Okay,
that's good. That's great, Kanan.
Good shit, man.
Awesome. Love that shit. That's perfect.
I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
Yeah, like,
that's cool, man.
Look, I hate when people do that to me, so I'm sorry I had to do it, but.
That was perfect, though. He real with it, and it was fucking great.
Because he's a pro. Because he's a fucking pro, man. That's how pros do it, man.
You gotta slap him.
Bitch.
Oh, I want to slap me.
Shit. Keep my watch.
And then he put a diss track out. Didn't he put a diss track out on Chris Rock? Did you just hear some shit? I just thought I'd seen something on social media.
I think he like slid a line in one of his songs on his new album. Something like that. Yeah.
Stop it, Will.
But look. I love Marlon. But Marlon gonna make it all about him.
Right. Oh, on his special.
Like, look.
I was the one that
Chris Rock got slapped because God loves me.
That's funny.
Shout out to Marlon, man. Like,
yeah. Oh man, yeah.
That's funny. Marlon is hilarious. But no, that was spot on, bro.
Appreciate it.
It's like your comedy bag. So let me ask you about this, like. Shout out to Precious. She was just on the show.
Shout out to Precious.
A couple of episodes back, and she told me something that was like a epiphany to me.
Mm-hmm.
That she said, going on stage is easy for me, but it's the one-on-one conversations that I can't.
She can't stand.
You know, like, I can't do it. Like, I don't want to do it. Like, the one-on-ones.
Yeah.
And so, like, all right, so, like, people not putting your personality on blast, you a beast on stage, bro.
Thank you, man.
Comfortable. You don't have no pee-pee dribble and pause. And, but, like, the one-on-ones, is that tough for you or?
So, it's very, Precious made a good point. So, going on stage is easier for me than talking to people, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm in a situation where I'm like at a party or I'm around a bunch of comics, I'm probably gonna be the first one to leave.
Cause you,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and the and whole like, conversations yeah, and just talking, yeah, you know, and this and that,
and people always be like, Mike, where you going? Where Mike at? You know what I'm saying? I'd be gone.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Cause they know, like I'm the most quiet one out the group. Everybody gonna tell you that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So like in the most recent years, I've started like doing stuff like this.
Okay.
You know, coming out of my comfort zone and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like, I get nervous. I get, you know what I'm saying? I tell people I don't approach women. I never do.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't have to. Like, you fucking tall as fuck. Yeah, you look like Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
I go to the gym, I work out. Shit like that. Like,
That's why I wears a medium on stage.
I thought you was gonna do a.
Sorry.
I was like, watch Mike here come here laughing
some
like a wild
skin tight jeans and everything. What's up, ladies? I know you here to see some people. You here to enjoy your time on the cruise ship.
Look, Kawhi Leonard laughed like it hurts me. I'm like, watch him do that shit when he get here. He gonna be like,
that would have been fun. That would have been messed up. Y'all interviewed me and I was like Kawhi the whole time. I just like doing comedy.
Well, see, a lot of people show up and they don't know what to expect. So, and then they have a good time. Right. They're cool. Yeah. You know, so it is what it is.
Yeah,
but like, I'm
some
like
of
you,
shit
man.
Gonna be in.
Like when we
back home, man. I'm just letting you know we back home.
We've been back home.
Yeah, right.
I'm gonna cut it from before.
Don't cut it at Chimp.
No, we good.
All right,
No, but like when we were passing out flyers for our show,
yeah.
That was like the worst thing for me. To try and approach people and say, you want to come to a show? You don't know who I am. You don't know who I am at all. You know what I'm saying? You don't know nothing about me.
Yeah.
Social media, they're looking at it like this. They're like, huh, is this my Chinnery? You know what I'm saying? It's like, who are these people that are coming with them? They were all fire.
Shout out to that show.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody did well, but I'm still getting reviews from that show. Everybody's saying it was dope.
Once the conversation started, I'm good.
Yeah.
But starting the conversation, the worst.
The worst.
I don't want no part.
Worse.
I'll say what's up if I know you.
I get a headache if I talk to people too long. I will, and I have to leave.
Well, that's like, just disinterested. That's just boring ass people.
Listen, after shows and people like want to talk to me and ask me questions
and stuff like that.
I start literally getting lightheaded.
So you got a headache now?
Not yet. I'm good, man. Yeah. When I'm mentally prepared for it, and I, you know, plus I like talking about comedy.
Right.
I'm cool, but like just random conversations with people and just like trying to network and stuff like that, I get lightheaded.
Yeah.
I'll be like, all right, I've had enough.
It's tough, man. I don't like it. Because it feels like for us, because we just like to talk to new comics and things like that, but people who have been doing it, I feel like if I say, hey, how, they're like, what the fuck do you want, motherfucker? We want a spot. Or some bull, you know what I mean? So it's I don't like to do that. And he'll reach out to anybody, and I love that because
that's
he's like,
up.
We going to get him on. We going to get him on. I'm like, okay. That. I go, Bobby, like this. Okay.
I'm like, we're going to have Mike head on the show. Mike Head is going to come on the show. How do you suppose we're going to get Mike Head on the show?
When's he going to cancel? Did he verify?
He's like, did you confirm? I said, look, man, I love this.
He confirmed with me about three times.
Good. Well, thank you, because you know why? Because we have other people that say they're coming and don't show up, local as fuck. Yeah.
And I knew that.
Local as fuck.
He texted me on IG like, hey, see you at 7, bro. see you tomorrow, bro. see you next week, bro.
So you'll be surprised, Mike.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
For example, you came and you showed up, right?
Yeah.
You responded back, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Shout out to Greg Morton. He's a friend of the show. You and Greg, y'all did some major things in the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Major things.
And I can't get a call back from Fred?
Fred?
I can't get a call back from Fred?
Fred.
Not Aaron Hall.
Aaron Hall,
come on, man.
I miss you.
I can't get a call back from Fred.
Fred can't call him back. Fred, come on here, Fred. Aaron Hall.
You know what I'm saying? No.
I miss you. I'm talking to you, baby.
Look, we got a show with Fred coming.
Yeah, we do.
Fred been on the show.
Yeah.
And I told him this, and that's why I'm saying this fucking thing. You know, I don't do that in the hand.
Nah, we love Fred.
Shout out to Fred.
Yeah. Shout out to Fred, aka Aaron Hall, aka Megamind. That boy head worse than mine.
Love that dude.
Hey man, shout out to Fred, man. Hey,
I like Fred,
but
No, you don't want to try and kill us all now.
No, right.
We
no.
love you, Fred. We right. love you, Fred.
Fred is my dog.
I know.
But at the same time, I'm using Fred, but it's other comics. Mm. Not Fred, but it's other comics. This yeah. ego is so big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they ain't really did nothing for real.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You doing real things. Yeah. Morton's doing real things.
Yeah.
All over the world. To be honest with you, Greg Morton is the first person that saw our t-shirts and wore our t-shirt and said, "This t-shirt is dope as fuck."
Yep.
Look, I was in Vegas and they didn't even recognize me because they was too busy looking at my Midnight Paco t-shirt. And then they looked up and was like, "Oh shit, it's Greg Morton." They were so intrigued by the shirt.
Yeah, man.
That was back when Jay did personalized shirt. Look, well, I ain't got the shirt.
Yeah, but, no, it's not there.
Yeah.
It's vinyl, man. It takes too long. It's a lot of work.
No, he was doing like
a lot of work.
Dope shirts.
A lot of work.
You got your shirt is dope too, Mike. But I'm just saying he was doing dope shirts and Greg was like, they were so intrigued by the shirt, they didn't realize it was me, and then they start freaking out when they realized it was me.
Dope.
But it was like people here in Cleveland, man, it's like, I don't know, man. It's
egos everywhere. It ain't just Cleveland.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah.
That's why you by yourself. That's yeah, why man. You by yourself.
I ain't gonna
That's why you move the way you do. That's it. I mean, I get it. I mean? Man. It's one of those things where like that's why like with this we try and talk about comedy and I bring up festivals and saying how, you know, like just look at his face. Yeah, we went at it. Episode 184, boy, is a wild one.
Okay,
boy.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Mike Head, how many festivals have you been to?
I've been to a couple. I haven't been to many lately. I haven't submitted. The only reason I haven't started submitting lately is because I don't have the good video to submit. But I would suggest doing them. You know what I'm saying? It helps put your name out there. Shout out to Mike Paramore. He's done a lot of festivals.
Shout out to Mike Paramore.
Shout out to Mike.
And it does get you recognized. It gets you into the club. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But festivals is still a good networking tool. But at the same time, it's not one of those things that's kind of fade. It's fading in the background, just like I said, because of social media.
Right.
Everybody is focusing on what you guys are doing. Building a brand, building a podcast, building their social media. It's similar to like late night. You know what I'm saying? Usually, back in the day when you got your late night spot, like that was it.
Right. Yeah.
You on your way.
Yeah.
If you sat on the cops with Johnny Carson, you made it.
Yeah.
It's a lot of guys that's getting, you know, chances on Fallon and then they end up, you know, on the cruise ship next to me. You know what I'm saying? So,
which ain't bad.
Man.
I ain't knocking the cruise ships. I'm just saying, like, but that was a stigma too back in, like, people used to say, yeah, cruise ships is where comedians go to die.
No.
But it's shifted now because, like, a lot, there's so many comedians now.
Right.
Everybody ain't getting booked in the club. They not booking like they used to. They booking the social media people or the podcast people.
Right.
It's different forms of entertainment that are coming into these comedy venues, and people are like, man, I gotta go do some cruise ships. To pay these bills and stuff that. So it's you know, the comedy game is evolving, man. So I'm not knocking.
No, festivals.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
See, he does.
He does.
Well, because in his mind, go ahead. You speak your truth.
Yeah, speak your truth, man.
Well, I just think festivals are a hustle. It's like he makes valid
points.
No, some of them are.
He makes valid points.
Not all festivals, but just like some of the ones that's close to me. Like you're going to submit a tape and an entry fee, and you may or may not be in the festival. And I'm like,
yeah.
So the purpose is so people can see you and you network. Yeah. And I said, and this is no knock against you and your personality, Mike.
No.
But I said that, you know, festivals are for people that networking or social skills are a little low.
Yeah.
That would be a great place for y'all to go.
Because in his mind, if he wants to work at a club, he'll just get his way into the club. Why do I got to submit tape if I'm cool with this dude at the club. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I mean, but how are you going to do that for every club? Exactly.
He can't do that for every club, but.
But can he? He can.
He can do it for some.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Exactly. So
he's persistent. He got a different type of personality.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to tell him.
That'll get you far.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, some of the festivals are, you know, I mean, because you got to think, man, you paying $50, mm-hmm. $70 per pop.
Yep.
You know, and it's all these submissions. You can make some cheese.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like off of that. And so
Midnight Paco Podcast Festival is about to kick off.
Starring
2026, baby. Submit those tapes.
$250 submission fee.
And we're gonna see them on Hulu right next to the Fire Festival.
Oh no, not the Fire Festival. Ja Rule. No.
You're gonna see both of y'all right next to Ja Rule, like, the Midnight Paco Scandal.
Yeah, right. Like, it's the island. It's gonna be a party. It's gonna be fire.
No, if we do something, it'll be legit. But no, we ain't doing no festival. But no, I agree with 100% of how he is, because that's how he is. But for comics starting out who ain't like that, you can tell them to network like that, and that may work. But people who aren't like that, they got to know that festivals are an option. It's a great place to go to meet comics and network, even if you're not even doing the show. Like even you said, you could just show up and network. And
sometimes they got like workshops. They got, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Stuff like
that.
You know, breakout sessions and stuff like that. But, you know, both of y'all, I think 50, y'all equal on that one. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, some of them are racket, some of them are scams.
Yeah, yeah, that's all. But he's like dead set, boy. He can't stand the fact. You know what I mean?
I get it.
No, but okay. So now that you, like, I think this is a lane for you, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like, okay, I'm going to try not to be long-winded, but in my mind, mm-hmm. Mike Head you doing your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You out here, people heard of you that don't even like. It's certain people like that's not fan of comedies that know your name, which is dope.
Yeah,
you doing your thing. You moving in the right direction. People know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not like a outgoing person. Like you a quiet person.
Yeah.
That's a lane. You could probably do a whole page on how to
maneuver this way as an introvert in comedy.
As an introvert. That's the politically correct word. Like as an introvert. I mean, other than your comedy speak for itself, because you could be the funniest dude in the world, but if nobody know who you are, know how to find you, how do they find you?
Right. Or how you know, and it'd be good insight to let people know how you got to this point, being a certain way, and other people may feel that way and may relate.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Will it be? I'm doing it again. I'm sorry, Mike. You're gonna probably punch me in the face. Will it be easier to if Tracy Morgan would it be easier if Tracy Morgan told us how it was done or what? I mean, I don't know.
I've always been this way, man. Ever since I was in Bed-Stuy, I was, you know, I was on the corner running my mouth, getting girls pregnant, you know? That's how I was, man. Especially after I got hit by that truck, I couldn't stop talking.
Good shit. He did it again. Punch him in the mouth. Good shit. He gets slapped and punched in one episode. That's amazing.
But you couldn't forget your trunk jewelry, though. You gotta have your trunk jewelry on, though.
Hey, listen up. They tried to kill me. They shot my ear off, but it grew back overnight. It's just...
I'm gonna get y'all back.
He's doing his idea. This is his idea.
No, he's pulling this.
Facial regimen is hot Cheetos and turmeric, people. That's what I rub on my face every day.
You also have a big, beautiful bill. The bill is beautiful.
It's the best bill.
Not ugly.
It's the best bill ever.
It's the best bill ever.
The big, beautiful.
No, but seriously, though, like, man, I'm sorry, bro. But seriously, like, you know, like for networking and for people that's like, you know, because to be honest with you, and I want to say, I think Justin is a victim of this. Mm-hmm. All comics come out and they think it's a magical dude that's probably wearing a tam that's gonna come out the crowd after you finish.
That's not it.
And be like, yo.
No.
You funny.
No.
Come with me. You're going to be big. You're going to sell a lot of tickets, man. Mm-hmm. Come with me, man.
I'm going to be honest with you. It's a lot of comics that think that. It's a lot of, you know what I'm saying? You may not think, but it's a lot of us that subconsciously it's in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. That's why as comedians, they do the shows in LA like Chocolate Sundays, or they get up at the Comedy Store, or they do the Boston Comedy Festival, or the Just for Laughs, because you're hoping, because it's happened. People have heard those stories.
Those shows are, you know, one thing. Saying?
And so people have been approached by SNL. It's a dude from Cleveland right now who's on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he used to be at the Funny Stuff.
Yeah, we sitting back in the back of Hilarity's talking.
Okay, yeah.
You know, the next year, this dude on SNL. Right. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Marcelo Hernandez, yeah, man.
Shout out to him. So, it's a lady too.
But yeah, who?
I forget her name.
That's from Cleveland. That's on SNL.
Yeah.
Word. Yeah, man.
But the difference is, see, okay. And I'm going to say the difference between him and you is you're quiet and he probably was not. And not saying
he's,
that you.
He's not. He's not. He was very, like, he had.
Charismatic.
He was charismatic. Like, his social media posts were. He's a character. He's mm-hmm. a personality.
Yeah.
And so people saw that.
You are, know, too.
That's a little bit, but Marcelo had it. I mean, he's that comedic actor that zany, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. He's great at it. You saw it in his post. You saw it in his comedy. And they probably saw that at Just for Laughs. And you know, the rest is history.
Right. Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, man.
But like, no, my thought is no. I just my idea is work on the comedy, get a good tape, submit it to clubs, and do it that way.
Yeah.
Which that's the way you do it, and he's like, "Nah, we'll just show up." I'm like, yeah, and they'll say, "Send the tape."
Right. Yeah.
Tell them to Justin. Yeah. They know me. They don't know me at all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's just I'm more of the traditional route. He thinks we, you know, and he kudos to him. Like I said, his networking's great. It's great. I try to talk shit, and we were on TV, so I can't say nothing. I really can't say nothing. He gets people. He reaches out, and so I understand his mindset, but I'm not that. You know, so he has to realize not everybody's that.
No, my theory is my theory is like, just don't fucking suck. You know what I'm saying? Like. Yeah. It's a lot of comics out here that has great talent, but they're assholes off stage.
Yeah,
that sure. too. That
don't be an asshole. Don't suck.
But they still want tape. I heard you're a great guy, but what do you talk about? Yeah. I want to see your tape. I mean, that's part of it. That's all I'm saying.
I think, like I said before, I think y'all's approach is going to meet in the middle. Because as you get, like, you show me the analytics, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all got followers. So, like, in the end, one day y'all gonna be able to be like, look, we got 300,000, 400,000 people following us. He gonna be able to walk up into the club. You gonna be like, man, don't do that. He gonna be able to use that one day. Know. You know what I'm saying? And the way that you approach things, it's just gonna meet in the middle one day.
Trust
you
know what me, I know. And I'm like, and he's like, so what if we can? And I do that. It's like, guess what, everybody? We went there and they let us in and they let us rock. So I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Right.
So if it happens,
say that, but I'm glad you said it now.
Whatever. Yeah. Dude, if that happens, I'm like, that's dope as fuck.
Right.
But until then, you gotta work on the path. You gotta take the path. Yeah. You gotta do the right things. You record every set anyway. So it's not like, you know what I mean? It's just, I just haven't had a super dope, you know, like with a camera that works fuck. Not this one tonight, but one that actually works and has a nice, you know, good crowd and, in a good set. I don't have that video. I have a good set. I have a good video, but that set's changed. You know, the way I think I'm better on stage than I was, more robotic on that one. So it's just, you know.
Yeah.
Real quick, Mike, you know, I thought you brought up a very interesting point. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we touched on this. Can you explain the attire of a comic?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, we touched on it.
We did touch on it.
Yeah, he wears t-shirt and jeans.
Yeah, t-shirt and jeans.
And super tight t-shirt.
No shorts.
No shorts.
I just wanted to reiterate it because that's important because that's important.
Yeah.
Like,
No, and the only thing
I'm listening to.
Yeah.
Because we always have our midnight. Well, sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time.
We have our midnight Paco stuff on there. It could be distracting.
Yeah.
But it.
I usually wear, like, if I don't wear midnight Paco or so, I usually wear a comics shirt. Like another comic shirt.
Like if we had a Mike Head shirt, we'll be rocking that.
Yeah, I'd wear that on stage or something.
I used
to
have a shirt back in the day, but I don't sell it no more because I don't go to the clubs, so I'm not selling merchandise.
You're on cruise ships where they sell fucking merch in a goddamn store.
They don't let us.
That's wild.
They say if you ain't got a thumb drive or a DVD or a CD, you can't sell merch.
That's wild.
So like these, you can sell like wristbands.
Okay.
You know, like not on the, but I was selling them in the. What about, you can't sell none of that stuff.
Damn,
you can't sell wristbands. You can't sell nothing, bro. Like that's, you can't sell.
They don't want to take away from theirs. Yeah.
I would make it like $5. You got charged. Like when I'm in a club, I charge $5 for those.
Yeah. So
you know, it costs like $1 to make them.
Right. Right.
You can end up making an extra like
$500, $600, $700.
Right.
You know, on a cruise ship, if I was able to sell those.
Oh, yeah.
But they don't let you.
That's wild. So that's messed up.
Yeah, man. It's crazy.
Wow.
That's got to change. Yep. Start a union. My head starting a union so you can sell wristbands.
Or you know, you could be like, you know, like once you you know, you perform, you can give out your, you know, your website and you can get merch from there.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, to be honest with you, like,
you thinking?
I think that like people that we have on our show is people that we actually mess with, like mess with their comedy or know them personally and mess with it. I mess with Mike Head's comedy and it's like, you know, I was paid a compliment. They said that my comedy reminded them of Sinbad. That was a huge compliment.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, and I saw Mike Head's stuff and I'm like, he's more, you know, like he's cleaner than me. Like, God, you know, like he's, I mean, my comedy is sort of clean, like a lot of clean. And it's kind of intimidating a little bit because, you know, you get booked for some of these rooms in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And then everybody up there like, blah, 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 pussy and this, that, and other. Yeah. And then here you come up there with your cling pudding pop jokes and be like, you know, people be like, they don't want to hear that clean stuff. Right.
So, some of them don't, man.
Yeah, my comedy is not clean. I mean, it's clean for the most part because we started out the comedy, you know, the funny stuff, but, you know, I ride the line. But I don't, you know, I don't drop no F bombs or nothing like that.
That's good.
That's it's like shit, bitch, ass, you know, little words, nothing crazy.
I talk
filth about porn and stuff, but I don't, you know, I'm not saying filthy words. It's just.
I mean, it's subject material, I guess. It's all that how you deliver it, man.
Yeah.
You could talk about something filthy and it not be filthy.
You just say butthole and everyone knows.
I gotta eat your butthole joke, you know what I'm saying? And I just say booty, you know what I'm saying? But it's all in how I tell people you can say anything as long as you make it palatable.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If
people can easily digest it, they'll be like, I'll take that. You know what I'm saying? And so my favorite comedian of all time, Patrice O'Neal.
Rest in peace.
He could say anything, but he would offend you the first minute of the joke, but then by the end of the joke, he would have everybody on board because he made it palatable and he committed to it and he just, you know what I'm saying?
He didn't give two F's either.
He didn't care.
He was comfortable on stage right there.
He was confident, man.
He was confident because he was huge, and if you didn't like it, he'll probably whoop your ass.
Right.
That part.
But he was solid in how he felt about that subject matter, and he just went into it. Because the crowd can tell when you're not confident about a joke.
Yeah.
Well, if you feel like you like, I don't want to try this, they're gonna see it.
Mm.
They're going to see right through you.
Or when they're not digging it, and you kind of like, you feel it, so you don't.
And you don't.
You don't. Present it the way it needs to be. You just go through the motions you and you don't fucking, like you said, you don't commit. You know what I mean?
You fully commit to it. Yeah. You can get through the joke. It might not get as many laughs as you want, but they'll be like, that joke was okay. But they'll forget about it. But if you go into a joke and you like, and then you back up off of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Let me just turn the corner real quick.
Mm-hmm.
You have two daughters.
Two daughters.
I got three kids.
Nice.
How do do they know? Okay, I know they know. I know they know that you go out and make people laugh. Mm-hmm. Have they ever saw your material? Do they look at your TikToks? Do they critique you at all?
Nah. I'm just dad to them. They know that I say little things, but they don't know exactly what I say. They've seen me perform when they were little.
Okay.
You know, they know what I do. They know where I perform. They know that I make stupid videos, but they don't follow me on Instagram or TikTok or anything because they don't want me following them.
You know what I'm saying?
So, we kind of like keep that separate.
Right.
And they don't really like telling people what I do. You know, they'd be like, what does your dad do? And they'd be like, you know, when they're at school or something, and one of their friends.
That's
ask,
wild, man. You know, if I was a cat, like, my dad's a comedian.
I mean, if I was on TV
I'm still,
or something like that, they would be like, but
movies.
I mean, yeah. But they don't, you know, the kids don't know that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They just, you know, well, my dad's he's a comedian. You know, so, yeah, they don't like to tell.
No, I get it. My son came to, you know, I've been doing it for 4 years, and this was his first time coming to one of my shows in Erie, PA. And it was just like,
yeah.
I didn't get too nasty.
Yeah,
he had his girlfriend with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, okay. No, he didn't get your son's not 23. Bad.
Okay.
23. I mean, he's 23, and
I don't know. Yeah,
I just wonder what was the mental process for him, and you know, like this was his. He brought his girlfriend, like, this is my dad. You know, like.
No, I get that.
Yeah, man.
My daughter would never bring one of our boyfriends to my show. Never. Not in a million years.
Well, that's understandable because you roast the shit out of his ass. So it's, you know.
I would.
Yeah, I mean, that's just what you do.
Yeah, if you ever need a, what was his name? Mike Lowry and.
You ever made love to him?
Like,
you want to?
Like, who you here to see? Call me up. I'm there for you, man.
Right. And then he was whooping ass in like the third one, the last one, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was.
He was whooping ass, boy.
Have him back by 11 o'clock or I'm lock, loaded, honey.
What was his name? In the
Reggie,
that's right.
Yeah, man. If you need me to do that.
It was whooping ass.
Yeah, call me, man. If you need me, I got it. I've been practicing.
That's what's up.
Chitty, chitty, bang. All right, don't get me started, bro. Like, listen, Bad Boys 2, top, like, probably, like, number one movie. I watched Bad Boys 2 over and over.
Yeah.
No, let's speak something into existence, man.
Hey, Mike, take the picture.
Look, let's speak something to it. In existence, man. Look, I know you did a couple movie things, but all right. So now that you know the people are watching, like, are you opposed to any more acting roles? Like, do you want to do more?
I would love to do more acting roles.
Y'all hear that?
I would love to do more acting roles. If wherever you at around the world, if you're shooting a movie, I'll do it.
Damn,
just do it. I'll do it. I don't want to do comedic roles. I want to do some dramatic acting.
Oh wow!
One of my favorite.
Serious?
Can I cry on cue? I have done it. But that's one of the things that they teach you in Meisner is how to prepare yourself for a scene like that.
Okay.
They teach you to come into the scene full, emotionally full, by using like past experiences or imaginary experiences.
So this don't count. If you can do that, I'm so happy to hear Mike. damn! Look, you see the tear though?
You gotta put Visine in because you can put it on your eyes.
Oh man, look! I thought there this was legit.
That's just on
this.
Your cheek.
I'm so happy Mike came today, man. You know? And then look, I thought I had this down. Like,
I thought, fuck.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm acting, man. Yeah. I'm tired, man. I'm trying to do my best.
See, he don't need that. He got it.
But no, I would love to do that, man. So, like some more acting. I'm still auditioning for stuff for independent films locally, just to continue to work the muscle. You know what I'm saying? And I would love to write for like a sitcom or something.
Okay,
like that.
Yeah. You're talking your own like writing your own little like short film or anything?
I wrote like a couple episodes of my own, like a sitcom based on my life.
Okay, you didn't want to film it yet?
I didn't. I was just, like I said, not networking enough, not having the right people in my corner, just didn't want to put the I didn't want to try to like go out and cast it and market it and just like all that. I was just in my head and I'm just writing.
You know, I tell him all the time, and I tell all the comedians all the time, they hear and they write, if you know a lot of comedians, they're perfect for roles.
Yeah.
So you can, oh, this dude's perfect for this part. Yeah. He can play this part. Yeah. Like, if you have a script, just go through your list of comedian friends and be like, well, I got half of them, Phil, for sure. I can get family members to play some. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know you want maybe a serious and motherfuckers that went to school instead of us.
That was these are real tears.
Just a brainstorming. You know what I mean?
Man, you hating, yo.
There's thoughts. You know, if you ever want to film it, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all. So
no,
I tell everybody, Clerks is the blueprint for anybody's first film. Mm. You ever see Clerks? Mm-mm. It was in black and white. Jay and Silent Bob.
Wait, how old is that
movie? Ah, shit.
Old as fuck?
Yeah, it was old. Yeah. I mean, but they did it in black and white just because of the cost, I think.
Oh, God. Cost and
but
the budget.
It's like they're at a convenience store. It's funny. It's a good movie. It's like a classic, you know what I mean? But I think they made it with like $7,000 or some shit. Yeah, it's like a cult
probably less
classic.
Than that for real.
Yeah, I've definitely heard of that movie.
Probably less than that, maybe, but... That's all. That's like the, into my mind, you know, because it's minimal locations, minimal characters. It's all dialogue.
Yeah.
All dialogue. A lot of dialogue, you know, so it's just, but check that shit out if you haven't, you know what I mean? Sure. Rewatch that shit. For get that mind going.
Yeah.
Hey, so Mike here, you know, while we wrapping up, bro, like, you know, how do you, when everything's said and gone, how do you want to be remembered in this comedy game? Like, what kind of, you know, what's your footprint in this game that you want people to remember you by?
I mean, it was always my vision to be remembered as, I wanted to be remembered as a good, great dramatic actor, as a great stage performer, a comic, and I wanted to be in a position to help other people that are like myself and bring people along that may be, you know, that in their head or like, cause I struggle with self-confidence and self-esteem and just like believing in myself for years. That's another thing. One of the reasons why I don't do some of the things that I do or reach out or stuff like that, because sometimes I just, honestly, I don't believe in myself.
Oh,
you know
man.
What I'm saying? I get stuck
that's
in
real.
My,
no, that's real.
I get stuck in my head and I struggle with that, you know, and I see a therapist about that kind of stuff. Cause I have really negative thoughts about myself and my career and my, you know what I'm saying, as a father, whatever, you know what I'm saying. So I would want to be in a position to help people that, you know, because like I'm a single dad, I'm taking care of my girls, and I, you know, I can't move to Chicago or LA or whatever. Like I would love to be able to just like change somebody's career, change somebody's life if I had the opportunity to,
right.
If I was in a position to do that.
Yeah.
So I would want to be remembered by, like, as a person that was like, man, that dude, Mike, man, he a real dude. He did this for me. He looked out. He, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So those are the three things that I think I want to be remembered as.
No, that's important, man.
Dope. Well, you're on the right path, man, because your word around here is solid and you showed up, dog. So I appreciate you for that.
Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, thank you. And you know, hey, you know, according to me, he lived up to his reputation.
Right.
He's everything that I heard he was, you know.
Yeah. He showed up to the hot box. Fuck, got it in, baby.
Hot box.
It's rough in this bitch. We're about to turn this fan on because it was too loud. We had to shut it off and close the door because people are loud out this bitch.
Yes.
Listen, it's about 90 degrees in here. Y'all see the sweat on my head? Look at that.
Sweat. You don't even want it. Thank God this shirt is black. Cause man. It's tight and it's hot.
And I've been trying not to move.
Yo, where can they find you at, Jay?
Hey, everybody, you can follow me at Justin Fuller Comedy on all platforms.
I am the_great. Wait, let me start over.
Yeah, do that.
I am the_.
There you go.
Great. _ CoreE. That's where you can find me. You can find us both at the Midnight Paco Podcast.
That's right.
And where can they find you at, Mr. Mike Head?
Mike Head is Funny on all social media platforms. Hey, go to my Instagram page, show, share my video. I just had a video that went viral. We got like 52 million views.
Nice.
And I jumped from like 3,000 followers to like 45,000.
Nice. Yeah. Which
in the grand scheme of things, it ain't like huge, but it's like, huge. You know what I'm saying? Share that video. Keep sharing my content, man. Cause like you said, I got people from all over the world that's like inboxing me like, man, I love your content. I love when you talk about your daughters or your mom or whatever.
Yeah.
So Mike Head is funny. YouTube, everything, all social media platforms, X, IG, TikTok. The Night Paco Podcast.
Yeah. Check you out next week. Peace out.
Midnight Paco. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast. Midnight Paco Podcast.